I'm Ruben Buenstura, and what I want to talk about today is a little bit of what I see as the particular advantages of a new bookmarking service on the web that's called Delicious, and what it makes possible in terms of new ways of classifying websites, in terms of new ways of getting access to material about websites, and in terms of ultimately providing connections between people using the web. So as I go through this, I'll just go back to the old, next slide lexicon so people know when to progress to the next slide in the PDF. So if you're right now on the title slide with a little bit of a tribute to Hemingway, let's move on to the next slide. So the question is, what is Delicious? And Delicious is a bookmarking service that looks very much like the bookmarks you already have on your computer, whatever browser you use, whether it's Safari, Firefox, Internet Explorer, what have you. But there are two significant differences. And the first significant difference is that it provides a flexible approach to bookmark organization. And we're going to see a little bit more of that in just a second. And the second aspect is that unlike the bookmarks that reside, say, on Mozilla on your computer, which are just your bookmarks, it's a site that provides for different users to not only store their bookmarks on the site, but to also see what other bookmarks people have stored and how they've indexed them. So this provides a social software component. And again, we'll come back to it in just a little bit. So the first item is the issue of flexibility in organization. And here, the main distinction I would make is that traditional bookmarks follow what I would call a tree model. Okay? In other words, you have a root, and then you have subcategories, and then you can have sub-subcategories and so on, but any URL you store has to be stored in exactly one of those locations, okay? You can't put it in more than one place. On the other hand, what Delicious allows is for a more general model, what I would call a more general graph model, and the reason I say more general graph model is picky programmers are going to point out that a tree is a kind of graph. So I'm talking about here, however, a more general graph model in which a URL can be in multiple locations. So this is the equivalent of saying, well, gee, I don't know, I have this new URL, let's say it's the URL for Delicious, but where should I file it? Should I file it under social software? Or should I file it under utilities? Should I file it under browser accessories? Where should I file it? What Delicious says is, hey, you can file it under all of these categories. So that's the first thing that makes a significant difference in Delicious. The second thing that makes a significant difference is the fact that you can see what everybody else who uses Delicious has done with their tags. That means that you have three interconnected components that make up Delicious. The first one is the links, the URLs themselves that people are bookmarking. Okay, so these are all the sites that people care about, that they thought were interesting, worth archiving, worth taking care of. So that's the first item. The second item are the tags that people put on these different links. So again, I may decide that the Delicious website, the URL for Delicious, belongs best under the tags of social software and browser utilities. You may decide that that same URL belongs best under your tags, which are social software and something like bookmark manager. The fact that I can see how you've tagged Delicious and you can see how I've tagged Delicious means that we have realms of overlapping tags, such as, for instance, social software, and realms of different tags. And we can learn something from what each of us has decided to tag delicious at. That's one of the great things that starts to emerge from this. So this is the three elements that we have. Because at any point, I can see what any other user has tagged. I can see what they've linked to. In other words, I can see the different tags they've applied to a site. And as we're going to see, by going to a site, I can see which users have been interested in it. All of these elements are interconnected. That means that there aren't any opaque areas in Delicious. So, what does this give us? Well, this gives us the basis for what some people have decided to call folksonomies. The term was created by Thomas van der Waal in 2004. This was in an informal discussion on Usenet. And van der Waal proposed it as a hybrid term consisting of folk and taxonomy. So what van der Waal is talking about here is saying, well, look, a folksonomy is what you get when instead of creating taxonomies via a more standard technique such as controlled vocabularies, you know, or asking everybody to create essentially their own controlled vocabulary, this is more what happens when you have a system that allows these vocabularies, these taxonomies, to emerge from people looking at what other people are doing, sharing resources, etc. But nobody is actually sitting down and saying, okay, what would be the formal taxonomy that we should create for, you know, categorizing services such as Delicious? There are no librarians behind this. Now, there's a very good article by Adam Matthies, which he wrote for his master's research, and you have the URL there, and I strongly recommend reading it if you want to get more into the details about this. But I want to take a second and point out that I don't consider folksonomies and more formal taxonomic methods to be mutually exclusive. In other words, some people have gone a little bit wild with this and said, oh, wow, we don't need controlled vocabularies at all. We can do everything with nothing but folksonomies. And conversely, you'll get some of the people from the formal taxonomic side saying, oh, these folksonomies are terrible. These people don't know what they're doing. They're completely useless. They'll just be thrown out in a few months and we'll be back to controlled vocabularies. I think both extremes are bad ideas, quite frankly. I don't think there's much to be gained in either extreme viewpoint. In fact, I think there's a very there are some very interesting possibilities here that emerge when you look at what can you do when you start merging some of the more formal taxonomic methods with some of the more folksonomic methods. We're not there yet, but I can already begin to see the first glimmers of some of the potential for data categorization and ultimately everybody's favorite term, the semantic web, emerging from this type of merger. Now, we're not there yet. Today, I'm just going to focus on Delicious, which is, as I said, primarily a folksonomic system. Okay, so we go to the next slide. And the next one is, why is Delicious so successful? It provides two things. The first one, there's instant feedback. When you go on Delicious and you say, okay, I'm going to add this website and I'm going to attach these tags to it, the first thing you have is there are no multiple steps. It's a little bit like that old ad, you know, there is no step three. Here it's log on to Delicious, enter your site and the tags at the same time, boom, you're done. You don't have to first enter the site, then go to a list of tags, select which ones they are, then wait for confirmation, and as in some of the older systems of that shared some points in common with Delicious that I've used, have, then wait for a day or so for the system to update its index of everything stored on it. You can see immediately that if you added a site, you can see who else tagged it. And we're going to look at that in just a second. You can also see what they tagged it with. You can also see if they tagged it with a given label, what other labels are associated with that one. All the feedback is instantaneous. That's very important. You never lose sight of what is going on when you're using delicious. And the second thing is, it's simple. What I just described is the case. In other words, two steps. Log on, enter your site and the tags. That's it. Nothing else. You don't have to go through a convoluted process. You don't have to train in the formal aspects of it. It's as simple, in fact, it's simpler in some ways than the bookmarking system that comes with every browser on any machine you might have used. So in a very direct sense, you're leveraging the knowledge that people already have of how to do these things. You're not asking them to learn a whole new lexicon. Okay, so moving to the next slide. So I'm going to go through a four-step process that shows you how to get the maximum mileage out of Delicious. Before I go into that, let me do two things. First, I want to pause for a second and give people a chance. You know, any questions or comments thus far? Nothing?
No.
Okay. And the second one, I want to make sure we're all on the same page of the PDF. You should now be looking at a page that says Step 1, the user page. Okay. So, the first thing that you see when you're looking at Delicious is that it's an incredibly simple system. What you see here is essentially the Delicious interface. And one of the nice things about Delicious is any page that has content on the Delicious system can be accessed via a URL. So as I go through this, you'll notice that I've typed out the form of the URL at the bottom of the page. So right here is what you see if you go to the page for the site for the Verizon VCOP group. Okay? You see the listing of all the tags that people have used. You see a listing of all the URLs that people have uploaded to the system. Now, once you've done this, you say, well, okay, suppose I want to delve a little bit deeper. Let's say you don't participate in the community that uploads these bookmarks for the Horizon VCOP, but you're interested in finding out what these people think about, how they think. So you look at this and you say, all right. So I noticed that in the tags, you look about, roughly two-thirds of the way down the list, and you notice, there's a tag that says computing. I wonder what the Horizon VCOP group puts under the tag computing. So if you click on computing under all tags, you get to the next slide. And that's what we call the user tag page. The user tag page says, okay, so for the Horizon VCOP group, the tag computing has the following items under it. And that's what you have. You have here a list of sites all the way on the left that have been tagged as belonging under computing. But in addition to that, now notice that you have a little box that says related tags, and it says 2 blog, 1 learning, 3 pervasive. What that means is that computing shares with blog 2 tags, 2 URLs. In other words, there are 2 sites that have been tagged as having both computing and blog aspects to them. There are 3 sites which have aspects that have been tagged as being computing and pervasive, etc. So now you're beginning to see what's beginning to emerge. Not only do you know what tag corresponds to which sites, but in addition to that, you're beginning to see a little network of tags emerging. We're going to look at that network in just a second. But now you'll also notice that all the way on the right, there's a column that says all tags. Now, all tags, okay, we already said corresponds to all the tags that are the Horizon VCOP. But suppose you weren't interested in just the Horizon VCOP. You wanted to see what all users had to say. Well, right down the middle, right below related tags at the bottom of that, you'll see a link that says computing from all users. So if we click on that link, we get to the next slide, which is the cross-user tag page. And the cross-user tag page is the one that says, okay, now you're not looking just at the world of the Horizon V Cup. You're looking at what all the users on the Delicious website have decided to tag as computing. So now you have a list, and you can see that on this list, you have every one of the sites. You also notice that you can get to, for instance, the most recent person to have tagged something. So if you look at the first one, it says alt hypertext, okay, to computing historic, okay, by Wonko. So Wonko decided to tag this site as computing and historic. Those were the tags that Wonko used. And in addition, four other people decided also to tag this site. In addition to that, though, we'll go there in just a second. But in addition to that, now look on the right-hand side. And you'll see a box that says related tags. Now, remember that before, we looked at the related tags that just belonged to the Horizon V Cup, when we were just looking at how the Horizon V Cup used the tag computing. Now, this box here tells us how the majority of the community uses other tags in conjunction with computing. This is an aggregation process. And again, if you're interested in the fine details, I'll refer you to the Delicious website. But essentially, this is telling me that in the broader community, not just in the Horizon V Cup, but in the broader community of Delicious users, the tag computing is associated with security, software, Firefox, hacking, advice, grid, etc., in roughly that priority order. Now, that isn't every tag that has ever been associated in the community with computing. That would be an impossibly long list and not very useful. So these are just sort of the top 20, if you will.
How do they determine that? Is that by frequency, or they just arbitrarily take the top of X number?
It's a combination, actually. And that's one of the aspects that I think is going to evolve a little bit in Delicious, because I think that's one that there are several different ways to look at the issue. And in fact, I suspect you may actually see different modes of aggregation evolving, ranging from a more Google-like system to a just sheer count type system, etc. So anyhow, does that answer your question in terms of?
Yes, thanks.
Okay. So at this point, what we have is a picture of what the cross-user panorama looks like. Okay? In addition to that, what we can do is now go back to where you see this and for other people. Okay? And what we can do then is say, well, what happens if we click on that? And then we get to the fourth step, which is a page that corresponds to that particular URL, that particular site. Okay? And what there you're going to see is this list is now not different sites. All of these correspond to the same site. But you have the title that everybody chose to attach to that site, any additional comments that they chose to attach, and the tags that they attach to this site. So, for instance, you can see that Wonko decided to call it Computing Historic, Craigo only called it Computing, Nick Loft called it www web internet, etc. In other words, this tells you now, from the perspective of a given site, take a look and see how these other, how these people looked at this site and how they chose to tag it. In other words, this is a URL-centric perspective of what's going on. And with this, you've actually closed the circle. Why? Because now you know how to get from a particular group or person with their URLs and tags to a particular tag, to how that tag is used by other users, to how a particular site has been tagged by many different users. So at this point, you've got all the cross links you need.
I'm sorry, I got a question.
Sure, please.
Okay, I got to the link where it showed the different URLs.
Right. So,
and they have different names, which I guess is what you're calling tags, is the names. But I'm not seeing, is there a way to see what tags that were from the right column are associated with each of these URLs?
Okay, on which page?
You follow my question?
I do follow your question. I just need to know which step page are you looking at? Which screenshot are you looking at?
At step 4, the site page. But
okay.
I'm actually following along with you in Delicious, so I just randomly picked one.
Uh-huh.
And where it says, and 12 other people, or whatever it was.
Right. Okay.
And that brought a list of what they called it, and then each one might have a subtitle that are different. And then it says, one of them might say, by so-and-so on such and such a date, copy this item.
Right. Okay, what I'm talking about, what you want to find out is how each of them has tagged, in other words, which of the tags that used to be on the right-hand side. Okay,
yes.
That is, in the to whatever by somebody, what's in between that to and the by are the tags they used.
Okay, I see it. Thank you.
Okay, so those, yeah, so that's how, again, that's how you would be able to tell what they tagged it as. And it also gives you, of course, very much the idea of how different people are approaching it. You know, on the particular example page I chose, you have the extreme at one end, you have Craigo, who just chose one tag, which was computing, to label the site. But on the other end, you have Corey Archangel, who used awesome, computers, hack, super genius, and important to label exactly the same site. So very clearly, different users bring different perspectives on what the URLs they're tagging to how they're tagging it. And again, that's part of the value of it. In other words, it's messier than a standard vocabulary. But on the other hand, it does say, Corey Archangel thinks this is important. Okay. Assume for a second that you didn't know that the first announcement of the World Wide Web was indeed a very important thing, right? This might highlight something that otherwise the term computing might simply say, well, it's just a computing event like any other, okay? So again, you're beginning to get a richer picture from the interaction of all these different people looking at it.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. All right. So these four steps define the core of what's at the heart of Delicious. Now, in addition to this, I'm going to show you one more little toy that's on the next page. I'm calling it the coda because it's not really at the heart of just, the, shall we say, crucial elements of Delicious, but it's a nice additional aspect. And that's the tag intersection page. And what the tag intersection page allows you to do is to say, I know these people have some pages, some URLs that they labeled with the tag computing, and other URLs that they labeled with the tag blog. I wonder what they put in the intersection of the two. In other words, what do they consider as being deserving of both the tag computing and the tag blog? And you can see what you do. It's very simple. You just take the standard URL as you constructed it before. So here I have delicious.horizonvcup/. But instead of just putting the single tag, you just put a plus in between the tags that you want to get the intersection of. And you can do 2, 3. I assume there's some limit on it, but I think you're more likely to reach a reasonable limit on how much you want to try out before you hit that physical limit. When you do that, you get pages that look exactly like this. Okay? On the left-hand side, you can see the one that corresponds to the Horizon VCup. And on the right-hand side, you can see the one that would correspond to the broader Delicious community. And both of them correspond to the same thing. In other words, what got tagged in one case by the Horizon VCup, in another case by the broader community, with the combination of the tags computing and blog. Okay, so you can see this is a very useful tool. Again, particularly when you're doing complex subjects. For instance, suppose you're interested in doing some programming in Python. If you just use the tag Python, you're going to get a huge list, absolutely humongous. But if you do the intersection of, say, Python and, let's say, networking, because you're planning to write an application that relies crucially on networking functions. Then you're going to get the tags corresponding to that intersection. This is no different, of course, than what you do in Google when you start restricting a search with additional search terms. But again, in this case, you have the direct aspect of somebody thought that this particular URL should be labeled with Python and also the tag for networking, as opposed to that other one which only got the tags Python and tutorial. So once again, this allows you to zoom in on subsets of the whole universe of the network that you're looking at. Now, so far I've shown you Delicious from the perspective of the interface. I want to take a small pause here and play a little bit. So if you go to the next page, I want to show you a little bit of visualization. And for the purposes of this visualization, I decided to use the tags from the Delicious site of Joshua Schachter, who's actually the creator of Delicious. And he's had just a bit of time to refine his use of tags. Now, I emailed him, and he replied that he thinks there are other users who are more active. Fair enough, but I still think he's probably one of the most thoughtful users on the system. So one of his tags is AI. He's interested in artificial intelligence. And on January the 4th, I decided to see what his universe of tags looked like, starting from AI. So when you look at which tags have something in common, in other words, URLs in common with AI, you come out with this universe. And you find that game theory shows up, art shows up, also, interestingly enough, food shows up. So that might be an interesting link to follow. Now, as I say, I'm just using this for illustration purposes. So rather than delving in depth into, well, you know, let's examine the intersection now that we know how to do it between AI and food, I decided to take a step further and say, well, okay, so what happens now if we include the interconnections between these tags? In other words, not just how they're connected to AI, but also, well, which ones share URLs, how many, and use that to determine this picture. So now you look at the interconnections between tags. The organization in space is given by the, shall we say, modeling assumption that these different tags are, if you will, connected by springs, and that the strength of the spring is proportional to how many URLs they share. So the more URLs they share, the stronger the spring. And then this particular diagram was rendered in GraphVis. GraphVis uses a nice little algorithm to calculate, well, okay, so what will be the most relaxed position for such a system, and then lays out the diagram in space. And now you can begin... Sorry,
Ruben, for interrupting.
No problem, please.
This diagram, this is in slide 12, right?
Let's see, This is, it should say at the top, visualization 2. Yes.
Yeah. So this is starting to look a bit like sort of social network analysis types of diagrams.
Bingo. Exactly. And in fact, I've got a little bit of curiosity. In fact, more than a little bit of curiosity to see what type of sociograms you could get from a detailed analysis of the connections between users of Delicious. So, yes, that's exactly right. So, as I say, in this particular case, you're beginning to see that, again, as far as Joshua is concerned, okay, Joshua sees AI being connected to all these different things, right? And remember we said that AI was connected to food, but food is also connected to RDF and to bio. And again, something interesting seems to be happening here. We also see AI connected to spam. Okay, you can see why that would be the case. And AI is also connected to user interface, which is also connected to spam. So again, you're beginning to see clusters emerge. Okay, and yes, you could start applying all the tools from social network analysis so we could find out whether there are cliques in the system. And we could look at the degree of centrality of different nodes, etc., for those of you who are familiar with the terminology. But at this point, I just want to give you a picture of what it is, the type of information that's embedded within Delicious. So if we move to the next one, I could say, okay, now let's add the tags are 2 degrees of separation from AI. So all the tags are connected to each tag that is connected to AI. and you get this diagram. I haven't bothered to blow it up. You can't obviously make out any fine details here at this resolution, but there are two things. Number one, in regular use, if you're really interested in this, you would be using GraphViz, and you would be using its zoom in, zoom out functions to look at subsets. And again, there are other tools you can use to examine this. But you also begin to see certain patterns emerge. And again, you have to keep remembering that what I'm doing here is just visualizing the information that underlies Delicious. We can prune that back a little bit, and we can say, well, let's get rid of any tags that don't bridge any other two tags. And we get this diagram. And this you could spend some time studying, but you can see that there are a number of tags that have the function primarily of just connecting two of these components. And there are some very interesting consequences to this, once again, if you're doing a network analysis type of process. But you have to keep thinking that what this would tell you now in terms of how you're using this is if you started from AI, this would sort of give you the paths that you could follow to understand a little bit more how Joshua thinks about tags, or maybe you're not interested in how Joshua thinks about tags. This is a map that would tell you how, if you were following the URLs that Joshua mapped out, how they're connected to each other. We can take one more look at this before we move on, and we can do the same thing for the general user population for Delicious, and we get this diagram over here. And in this diagram over here, what we can see is that we have a simpler setup. That makes sense. Remember that we don't have every tag ever used by every user. We only have sort of the top of the pops list of tags. But in addition to that, you can also begin to see some interesting patterns emerging. In this particular case, it's a diagram with AI, all the tags connected to AI, and finally, those tags connected to those tags that bridge at least two different tags. And there are some interesting results here. For instance, you can see that Markov, as in Markov processes, and Hawkins, as in Palm Computing Hawkins, are both connected to AI, but they don't seem to be connected to anything else. Also notice that this is a directed diagram. That's more of a point of curiosity, but that's because just because a tag appears on the list of tags most frequently associated with AI, so for instance, Hawkins, does not mean that the converse is true. AI does not appear most frequently on the list of tags associated with Hawkins, therefore the little arrows. All right? So this is mostly pretty pictures, but they're pretty pictures that give you some idea of why Delicious is so powerful. Let's get back to some practical issues. So as to complement Delicious, we need two things. We need good tools, and we need good practices. So let's start with good tools. I'll mention two tools. The first one, I regret to say, is Mac OS X only. So for those of you who are in the Windows world or in the Linux world, I deeply regret to inform you that this tool so far is not available. Fortunately, it is open source, so I have some hope somebody will do a port to either platform. But for those of you who do have a Mac, and I know Nick recently joined that group, this tool allows you to access Delicious from a nice interface on the Mac. And you can see what you have. When you log on using Cocolicious instead of the regular Delicious interface, all of your tags are listed as they are before, but when you click on a tag, I'm looking right now at the diagram on the left, it'll immediately bring up all the sites listed under that, and if you click on the site in the lower pane, again, you're looking on the left here, it brings up the site. Furthermore, if you go now to the right, if you click on two tags by holding down the Apple key while clicking on several tags, it'll give you the intersection of those sites, and again, you immediately have the site visible in the lower pane. So this gives you an interface to some of the key functions of Delicious. It doesn't give you every function, but it gives you a subset of those functions that's particularly valuable in terms of giving you immediate feedback as to what tag goes to what site and what that site actually is by being able to see the site in the lower pane. If we now go to the next slide, this is the second set of tools, and these are cross-platform. They're cross-platform because these are plugins that run on Firefox, so you can run this on Windows, macOS 10, Linux, what have you. And a small aside, if you're using Windows and you're not running Firefox yet, I have to ask why. It is a much nicer browsing experience than Internet Explorer, not to mention being considerably more secure. Okay, end of commercial for Firefox. The two plugins are Foxylicious and Delicious. Foxylicious does one thing, but it does it very, very well. What Foxylicious does is it allows you to synchronize bookmarks between Firefox and between Delicious. That means that in your local bookmarks, you can have a subset of them that are synchronized with what is happening on the global Delicious site. So this allows you, if you will, to interlace your private space with the public space that you have on Delicious. The other plugin is just called Delicious, not very original, I'm afraid. But it allows you to essentially access all of the key features of Delicious from a contextual menu plugin. So if you hold down the control key, okay, when you're clicking on this page, and in this particular example, I was clicking on the page for the Horizon Project VCOP, you get access to all the items that you see in the lower contextual menu. You can post that page immediately to your Delicious site, or you can post a link that you've clicked on to the site. You can also say, well, show me this page. Remember that site page, step 4 in our discussion? Okay, you can say, don't bother bookmarking this yet. Just show me what other people have bookmarked this and how they've tagged it on Delicious. Or you can do the same thing for a link. You can also, of course, open your Delicious page. You can open the Delicious inbox page. That's an advanced feature I haven't talked about that allows you to do some additional interesting things with Delicious. And in addition to that, you can also look at all the tags you have. You can also look at the posts you've made. So again, what this means is that now, no matter where you are surfing on the web, if you see a page, you can click it and immediately bring it into your Delicious collection, or you can find out more about what other people have had to say Delicious-wise about it. So these are, again, two tools, and in fact, I use them together with Cocolicious at the same time. Each of them has some nuance that makes using Delicious that much more streamlined, that much easier, that much more likely that if I see a site, I'm not going to say, oh, yes, at some point I'll get to adding that to Delicious. But instead, I'm going to have the instant gratification of saying, yes, into Delicious it goes. And while I'm at it, I'm kind of interested in this. Let me see what other people have thought belonged in the same sphere. All right, so let's go to the next slide. Incidentally, I should also, before going on to practice, I should mention that there are literally dozens, probably hundreds by now, of add-ons, tools, etc. for Delicious. More are coming out every day. So don't take these as, and that's it. It's simply, these are some particularly useful tools that also work particularly well with the aspects of Delicious I've mentioned before. And as I mentioned, there are advanced features of Delicious that I haven't talked about. For instance, Delicious allows you to take a tag and split it up into two tags, or vice versa, allows you to merge tags. It also allows you to subscribe to RSS feeds. So if you have any type of aggregator or blog reader to read RSS feeds, you can also subscribe to Delicious tags, and then you can keep up with, okay, what did people think was worthwhile tagging on a sort of daily basis, etc. So those are features, however, that I would strongly recommend people go and explore for themselves. I don't want to overload the discussion right now by getting into that. But the last topic I wanted to get to is the issue of good practices when using Delicious. And in terms of good practices, I'm going to identify four good practice. Now, what I mean by good practices, this isn't a question of moral goodness or ethical goodness. It's a question of things that might help you get a little bit more mileage off Delicious, and in fact, a lot more mileage if, as we're doing in the Horizon V Cup, we're working on Delicious account collaboratively. So here's the first good practice. Trying to maintain reasonable stylistic consistency in how you create your tags. And for instance, a simple question is, should proper names be capitalized or not? Now, it turns out Delicious is case insensitive. So as far as searching goes, it doesn't matter. But it matters a lot in terms of sometimes winding up with a very hard to navigate visually profusion of tags. So sometimes you might want to use caps on some names and not in others for specific reasons that give you a quick visual rendering. But other times that wouldn't be desirable. In this case, these are actual examples taken from the Horizon V Cup as it stood as of today. I deliberately waited to make sure I had real examples, not old examples that were aged. Okay, so these are examples that are actual examples from the Horizon V Cup. And you can see here that Bruce Mao got his name capitalized while Esther Dyson did not. Not a major issue, but a little annoying. And it's a good exemplar of a whole category of issues. You know, things involving hyphens, underscores, in other words, the sort of thing so that you're, in one case, not creating a new compound word by just merging two words, while in another case you're using a hyphen for no very good reason. It's basically a question of figuring out a few rules as to how to do this, and then more or less sticking to them. So the second good practice I want to look at is also, what's the appropriate degree of fragmentation of a tag? Now, this is a question that arises when you look at tags that you could say, well, I can break it down this way and that way and the other way. So take, for instance, the acronyms like scalable vector graphics, okay? So how many tags do you need for this? Do you just need one SVG? Do you need more than one? Do you need SVG? And you need also the separate words scalable, vector, and graphics? Or do you need SVG, a compound made-up word that spells out the acronym, scalable vector graphics, and then scalable and vector and graphics. All of these are present as of today on the Horizon V Cup, and you can see that it's not working very well. Look at the examples I'm showing you. SVG wound up with three items, but scalable vector graphics wound up with one item. And that item is not, clear why that one got privileged with two and the other ones didn't. And now if you look at the separate words, scalable and vector and graphics, they wound up with sites, one site that neither SVG nor scalable vector graphics wound up having. So clearly we have too many fragmented tags here. And again, yes, go ahead, please.
Is it possible to create not related tags, which I see we can do, but aliases, where we can give multiple names and have them mean the same thing?
Very good question. The only way to do that is to do it deliberately at this point. In other words, you would deliberately have to say, every time I tag something with SVG, I will also tag it with scalable vector graphics.
Is that something that you have to manually enter each time, or can you create an index table or something that you can... You follow the question?
Yes, I follow the question very well. In fact, I've actually done a little bit of looking into this one. As I understand it, as of today, you have to do it manually. Now, that being said, there's absolutely no reason that couldn't be added at a later stage. And I think it would be very useful, and in fact, it would help a lot with this issue.
Okay.
So the third item is... now, one that follows directly from this. And that is, okay, so how many tags is the right number? And the answer is, okay, well, there's no, again, ethically or morally correct answer to this. Some people, for their uses, will do very well with just a few tags. Other people, for their uses, will need a lot more. So you could have anything between some people who do just fine with about a dozen tags and other people who need 150 tags. And somewhere in between is where most people are going to be. But you have to realize that there are hazards to having both too few tags and too many. Now, too few you can see right away. You say, well, if I have too few, I don't have a tag I need to label something I'm interested in. So what happens? Well, if I don't have the tag and I'm reluctant to create one, it's just going to go into the other bit bucket. Okay? And of course, we all know that when you put things in the other category, it's like when you put them in the other file folder or the other cabinet at home. Eventually that pile grows and grows and grows, and then one day it finds its way to the shredder, and that's it. Or maybe it doesn't find its way to the shredder, but then mice are happy to take care of that for you. So that's what happens if you have too few. But if you have too many, you also can get into a similar situation, because if you have too many, it can be almost burdensome. And you can get into the situation where you say, well, geez, I don't know, I have 150 tags. I want to think about this carefully. I'll put this into to-be-refiled system folder for now. And again, we all know what happens there. It never makes it out of that again, or very rarely. So that can be a burden. Or maybe it'll happen that you'll tag it. Because you have so many tags, every tag has just one or two things under it. So you don't get that pretty diagram we saw before where tags begin to be bridged by URLs, right? And that's part of what makes delicious particularly powerful. So what you want to do is say, well, I want to find a number of tags that works well so I don't fall into either of the extremes and I can use them so I don't wind up with things in the sort of general catch-all category, but at the same time make sure that it starts to spell out these connections that make the system so rich. So in this particular case, I've chosen a tag that I kind of enjoyed some of the implications when I saw it on the Horizon VCOP, and that is using to label a site about Bruce Mao, the tags Bruce and Mao. Okay? Now, why is this an issue? Well, because I can certainly see Mao. But really, is Bruce going to be all that useful as a general tag? Look at the tag Bruce in the general population, which you can see here on the right-hand side. We get a lot of Bruces, not, you know, Bruce Echo, Bruce Parents. Okay, then we have a Thanks Bruce. That's a generic Bruce, I guess. And frankly, other than doing a Monty Python skit about philosophers, I'm not sure that that tag is going to be that terribly useful. So again, this is an example of, you know, something that sounded like an initially good idea. Oh, I'll just use every portion of the name. Well, it looks like it's just overloading the tagging system without really giving us that much in return. All right. Finally, you have good practice number four, and that is, well, what you do has to work for what you're doing primarily. That is crucial. It's also worth your while to peek outside the window every now and then and see how the general delicious community is tagging URLs. In other words, you can develop a system that's great for you, but bears absolutely no resemblance to anything anyone ever saw outside your system. That may be perfectly useful for you, and that's great, but then what you have isn't that different from the bookmarks in your browser to begin with. And if instead of that you say, well, I'll adapt my system at least some so that it begins to overlap with what other people are using in the delicious community, then you get that other diagram we saw where you start branching out to other people and linking to what they have decided to bookmark and how they've tagged it. And again, you can get huge, huge benefit from that. I'll make a side remark here. When I was compiling the information for the diagrams based on Joshua's site, I actually spent a good deal of time just looking at the first few links he had put in his AI collection. They were that fascinating. And I have to admit, initially I was just going to go in, get the information, put it into a GraphViz compatible format, and that's it. And I found myself literally spending hours saying, wow, that's a really interesting way to think about that. That's a really interesting site. And I see a connection here that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. But to do that, you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to somehow, I don't have to give up the advantages of the system that make it work for me. Otherwise, there would be no point in this exercise. But it is worthwhile looking and seeing what the general community is doing. And so here's an actual example, okay? In the Horizon V Cup, the word tag, I should say, C, is used to denote Generation C. Whereas in the general community, it's used 99.99999% of the time to refer to the C programming language. And again, in this case, it would be a worthwhile exercise to think, well, am I really getting what I want out of this tag? Or am I just, you know, somewhat confusing the issue for no very good particular reason? So these are the four practices I would recommend. And these are good practices, of course, if you're doing a site individually. But thinking about these practices carefully if you're doing a site collectively, as we're doing in the Horizon V Cup, becomes absolutely crucial. Why? Because if we don't, we wind up with a mishmash. And mishmashes are fun for a little while, but mishmashes also tend to get dusty and go into that same file drawer I mentioned before. So the question is, how do you implement these practices? Well, clearly everybody has to think about them individually, but each of us has a different perspective on how to do this. So if we go to the next slide, then it's a question of how do you implement these things best in a shared account? Now, one possibility is to say, okay, we're going to assign somebody. So I say, you know, we've all decided, Nick, you're the grand poobah of tags, and from here on out, you get to decide what goes and what doesn't go. You've got the background, you've got the experience, go for it. Now, I don't know, Nick, but were I to be in your shoes, were you to hear that, I would go eek, because suddenly you've been burdened with a huge responsibility on top of all the other things you have to do in this community, and there's another problem. The problem is you're going to have people calling you up the next day after you've done a round of tags saying, I don't get it. Why did you delete my tag? Because I had this very interesting reason for doing it. Or, you know, you really should include this. So in addition to that, you're going to suddenly become the arbiter of all disagreements about tags. And that's not a very good position, frankly, to be in. And aside from that, there's the issue of one of the rich aspects of working in collaborative projects is that everybody brings their own perspective. If everybody brought the same perspective, well, might as well just have one person do it. But in a collaborative project, everybody's bringing a different shade, a different angle on this. And if you say, well, everything just goes through one person at the end of the day, you kind of lose that. You don't lose all of it, but you lose a lot of it. And the question is, well, can you do better? Can you do this in such a way that you don't burden somebody with the task? And also so that, you know, you retain as much as possible of that collective knowledge. And I would argue that a better way of doing this is to set up some sort of a voting process. So a voting process has to take the form of something very simple, where you say, well, okay, every so many days or weeks or whatever is appropriate, you know, we all look at the tag system and we vote thumbs up or thumbs down on different tags. And then the question becomes, okay, nobody is going to have the single perspective on tags, but tags that are carefully thought out by different people are more likely to survive than tags that are only, you know, only work for one person but for nobody else in the group. So what you see beginning to emerge is a consensus via this sort of process in terms of tags. And it's a consensus that retains the knowledge that's present in the group, because you don't have all the tag information being filtered through one person. You see the tag information, again, being decided collectively. And the other thing is, if people take this process seriously, they begin to understand better the whole process of how are tags being assigned, why are tags being assigned, why did person X do it this way versus person Y. So you start seeing better usage of the tag system, and as people go down the road, better assignment of tags, more thoughtful assignment of tags, more careful assignment of tags. So at the end of the day, it also becomes a learning process for everybody in the group. So my suggestion would be that, particularly within the Horizon V Cup, we would be well served by trying to set up such a system. Anyhow, that's the end of the talk. So last slide is just how to get a hold of me. And at this point, any more questions, comments, and if not, just discussion, what people think.
Thanks, Ruben. I'll maybe hand over to either Patricia or Wayne. Do you have any sort of questions or follow-up or comment?
I think it's very interesting. It opens up some real possibilities in looking at a collaborative effort like we are to come up with good resources and to tag them. We've got a couple specific things, but nothing really we need to address now. Like, what happens if there's two URLs that really point to the same site? It'll treat it as two different. You know, maybe in one you leave off the index.htm at the end or something. Would that treat it as two different sites?
I can answer that right away. The answer is yes, it would. In other words, it's not particularly smart in that regard.
So there may be some other. I mean, you've did a good job, I think, of raising some high level concerns. But I think as we get into it more, we're going to see some other things pop up. But that's okay. You know, we'll just work around that. So let me ask the protocol at this point. So there's a Delicious server that hosts this, and then they have different accounts or different users that then create their own link world, if you will, of URLs. And our particular user world is called the Horizon VCOP.
Uh-huh.
So when we access it, the six of us or whoever in the rest of the community accesses it, we're all going in, if you will, under the username Horizon VCOP. And so we're building our own social community within our own account.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So we're not individually posting. As far as Delicious is concerned, when we put a link in there, it's not that we're individually posting. Horizon VCOP is.
That's correct. In other words, again, at this stage of the game, Delicious does not have any mechanism, any formal mechanism or any structured mechanism for syndication. Now, some people have tried to do things like saying, okay, there's one account where everybody posts and then everybody has their own account. And one of the things that's always in the group account is the links to everybody else's accounts and vice versa. That gives you a little bit of that, but there is, at this stage, no mechanism for what you have in group blogs, say, where you have everybody's posting to the same group blog, but you have a contributor name attached to it.
That answers that question. Now, how easy or difficult is it to get additional accounts if we decided to go that way?
Trivial. Additional accounts is just a matter of how many accounts do you feel like creating. At this point, Delicious is growing by leaps and bounds. So I have to admit, if I had to express a concern, it's, resources, as has always happened with these things. At what point does somebody's server melt down that is hosting the Delicious system? But there are.
They host it. Would they release the code and allow us to host it in our own, within, you know, have EDGECAUSE's own version of it, for example, or NLII's own server version of Delicious?
I don't know the answer. You'd have to contact Joshua for that. He's very approachable. As I say, I know he's a busy guy, but I emailed him to ask him if it would be okay if I were to use his site as an example, and he emailed me back within the hour. So,
okay. Well, I mean, the trade-off of that would be if we could syndicate the links. See, the problem is if you split it off into another server, when you go and say, well, what do all people think about that? Would that be included, or does it have to be within their own domain to be able to pull that information?
Right. Again, this is a very good question and one that I think would best be directed to Joshua, because I know, let me explain something, for instance, that's an issue when you're writing software for Delicious. So as to keep the server from being swamped, any software that accesses Delicious, like, say, Cocalicious or the plugins I mentioned, has to be very well behaved. Very well behaved means it can only make a request every so often, or else it'll get shut out. Now, officially, that's about a second, but in practice, there are ways in which things can get overloaded. I know in this context, Joshua has mentioned possibilities for things such as, if you want to construct this type of a service based upon Delicious, then it'll be okay, but you have to agree to provide your own service that caches, that has some sort of a cache for the information to do it. So I think he's definitely open to different possibilities, but I really think it's something that would be worthwhile discussing with him directly.
Okay, so flexibility would be one issue. The other would be sustainability of the server. If we're not able to move the stuff off of it, you know, we're relying on him and his group keeping this thing going.
Correct. Although there, you know, the little plugin I mentioned means that you always have a backup on your own machine for the information that's out there. Now, of course, you don't have the whole universe of users, and that is, in fact, an issue. And again, I haven't discussed with Joshua the, you know, details of, so what are the fallback positions if, say, his current setup has, it goes under, or if, you know, is there somebody willing to pick it up? It's, you know, Delicious has only been up and running for about a year now. So, the situation is very, very reminiscent of the early days of archive.org or Wikipedia in terms of, well, it's a great idea, but at the same time, you're doing the whole thing on a shoestring budget, and, you know, it's
that's
such
part
a great
of where my questions are coming from. Well, the other two is, for example, is it open source? And can we, if for whatever reason they're not able to sustain it, could we pull the code and install it on our own server? So, I mean, we put a couple of years, for example, into developing this out and building a whole network of our terms and links, and we've got a good resource there that we turn out to the general community, and all of a sudden we have thousands of people hitting it and it crashes their server. We might want to look at alternative ways to host this.
Absolutely.
And not lose all the work we put into it.
Absolutely, and once again, I think Joshua would be interested in discussing things like this. For instance, the API is open, but it isn't stable at this point, which again is an issue if you're writing software that builds on the capabilities of Delicious. I've done a little bit of work in that direction myself, and actually I decided to shelve it for a little bit because there were some issues with specific aspects of the API that I wanted to make sure were stable before I invested a lot of time on writing additional code.
Do you know Joshua? Are you fairly good terms with him?
No, I don't. I should also make that clear. It's, in other words, I know him as well as anybody else who is on Delicious and has had, you know, questions.
Okay.
But I do not know him personally.
I might suggest, and then I'll let somebody else speak, unless you want me to keep going, that is if we're seriously considering using this as a tool for Horizon VCOP, that we might want to schedule him in a meeting and talk about some of these issues and say we're really considering it, here's what we're thinking about doing with it. Obviously, anything we do will be available to the Delicious community in the world, but here are some of the issues that we want to make sure we address up front. And to see whether he'd be amiable and supportive of that. And just, you know, sort of feel him out, or feel him and his group out to see whether they're willing to cooperate with us on this.
I mean,
it's real easy to say, yeah, we'll give you an account, we'll give you an account, we'll give you an account. But like I said, what happens 4 months from now when we put a lot of time and effort into this thing? What are we locked into and where's our flexibility at that point?
Right. I should also mention one more thing. Delicious isn't the only service of this kind. It just happens to be particularly popular and particularly successful. Furl is another one, and I believe, you know, there are a couple more, showing up right now. So, again, it's an interesting question in terms of the relative investment into one, system as opposed to another system. And I have to admit, part of my feeling is that while it is true that it would be possible to invest a lot of time and effort in this and wind up with a system that is sort of locked in, if you will, and then if the system goes under, we have no way of getting back the true value of the time and effort put in. With the existence of other systems like this, I rather doubt that it would be a complete loss. In other words, what I think would be lost at most would be the user community structure that you would have in Delicious. But I think a lot of the work of developing the resources for Verizon VCOP could, you know, easily be transferred, say, the next day to Furl or a similar service.
Right. Well, the intellectual thought that would go into designing it obviously wouldn't be lost. But the export and import, depending on how it's configured and what the structure looks like, maybe we can do a translation, maybe we could tweak it, but we don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. But you're right. We run this risk of whatever we look at for any kind of tool. I mean, the ideal would be if something was open source and we know we can get to it, and there's a community around it building it, and we can host it, then we know at least we have some control over the environment.
Right. Yeah, in fact, it's interesting you should mention that, because what you just reminded me of is, of course, the situation that exists with some of the CMSs, where content
right.
can be pulled out, but what you can get out are the bare bones and with a lot of effort. So,
well, that's why something like this, they might want to look at the Sakai project. We're familiar with that, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, I mean, that might be something that a social bookmarking tool might want to look at, whether it's Delicious or anybody else. I mean, you did a good job of identifying the key four or five things that it does as far as functionality. And at this point, I don't think it really matters what the product is, as long as we've identified the functionality we want.
Mm-hmm.
I just interrupt you a second before we go on. Patricia, is there any sort of questions or comments that you have?
Well, no, I was curious if anybody's using this as a source for research.
In what sense?
What sense?
Well, you've got a lot of interesting things going on here. You've got a lot of semantic issues here. You've got, as you've been talking about, the social aspect of it. Is anybody examining this phenomenon?
Yes. There are quite a few people, I think, looking at the phenomenon. If you go, I'll give you one blog site where I think everybody that posts on this group blog site is examining it. Go to Many to Many. It's in the Corrente website.
Can you type it into ICA here?
Yep, I'll add it in just a second. So the Many to Many group blog, and I think pretty much everybody, Dana Boyd, Clay Shirky, etc., who posts on many-to-many, is doing research. I am too. I mean, it's, you know, so to speak, a full disclosure. I am very interested in some of the possibilities here. And again, it just to explain some of what interests me, I'm interested not just in what we can do in a, so we say, academic type context, but I'm interested in how a broader community makes use of this sort of tools. You know, another fascinating phenomenon is the counterpart in the world of photography, which is Flickr.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much the same type of phenomenon in the sense of people suddenly saying, okay, I'm going to put my photographs and I have this sort of informal tagging system. And again, the fascinating thing is the structures you start to see evolve, communities evolving on Flickr that then become self-identified communities based upon, oh yeah, simplest example, cat as a tag on my picture. And of course you have a cat lovers community forming around pictures of cats that appear on Flickr. So you start with something that was just a simple way for people to dump their pictures into a digital shoebox, but with little labels so they could pull them out easily. And a whole social phenomenon has evolved around it. And I see much the same thing happening here on Delicious. So yes, I think frankly, all of these, what I would call the, small, easy to use, easy to pick up, but very high bang for the buck applications with these types of characteristics are rich in potential for research. I mean, we've seen research going on Wikipedia now for a couple of years, of course. But I think you're going to see a lot more research coming out from research into this, research into things like the LiveJournal community, research into Flickr. I think all of these lightweight systems that have the capacity for people to, put out externally aspects that relate to social networks are going to be a goldmine for research in the coming years. And I'll make one more comment. I think that most of the services that have required that people explicitly identify their social network are much clumsier than these systems. In other words, when you ask on any of these, like Orkut and so on, who's your friend? Who are you a fan of? Etc. That's very crude. Here I'm not being asked, who do you share interests with? I don't know who I share interests with in Delicious until we look at each other's tags. So you start to see it's a much more subtle way, actually, even though the systems are much simpler, of constructing social social software than some of the more explicit, let's get people to state their network via friend of a friend or what have you.
Okay. I think it's another digital divide myself, but that's another conversation. I know we've gone over our time. I find it very interesting, and I'd also like I've been playing with it while we've been talking. I wonder if there is a kind of a how-to or a basic introduction to Delicious somewhere.
A basic introduction to
someone who wouldn't understand the concept or hasn't sat through this conversation, to be able to explain it to someone.
Well, okay. I don't know if I would call this a basic introduction to Delicious, but this talk will be archived, of course. So that's one thing. But there are plenty of sites that have put out little mini blogs on Delicious. I don't have any of them right now at my at my fingertips. But they do exist.
Ruben do one?
I'm sorry, how's that?
Ruben? Sipin's been doing some how-tos.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yes, I was going to say also there's Cyprians. And again, it depends on, let me ask you, which audience are you thinking about? For an academic audience, a general audience?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I'm talking, I've also emailed several people the link. And as I've shot it out, I thought, you know, I'm going to get questions tomorrow because people are going to say, yeah, I kind of get this, but I need more information on it. So I went to the Delicious site trying to see where somebody might go to find out more information from, you know, I have friends and colleagues in academia that will figure it out, but I have students who are going, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I think that's important. See, that's for me, is part of all of these issues is that we have this, I'm teaching a class on trends in educational technology right now, and I find that these people that I'm teaching, all adults in master's programs, enter in with a lot of different assumptions and understanding and knowledge. And I like to try to find ways to explain things from where they enter in. But since I'm a novice in understanding this software, I look for resources to help those who aren't, you know, as far along as I am or whatever. But I'll dig around and find it.
Well, let me make a couple of suggestions. Let's talk about, for instance, using the tool itself in this particular case.
Uh-huh.
The tag Delicious will give you a wealth of resources on Delicious. And if you try a few intersections on things like tutorial, how to, you know, they're rather, you know, basic introduction, I would look for those intersections. And that, I think, in and of itself will give you some resources. So that's one place I would look. Most of the how-tos that I've seen have not been within, shall we say, traditional web page links. They've been within the world of blogs.
Yeah.
And do you use blog lines by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay. I would also use some of the facilities in there as well.
Okay.
Again, it's, you know, blog lines is something I'm... addictive is probably not even the right word. It's become more along the lines of please, please, please don't let blog lines ever go under, because I find that I found it an invaluable resource in terms not just, of course, of having an aggregator, but also in terms of having a window on, well, you know, blog, you have blog X, blog Y, and blog Z. How about alpha, beta, you know, et cetera, that would be in some way related to them. And again, there's a wealth of information that comes out of it.
Okay. Good. That's all.
I think I have one comment striking me as a bit, and it comes back to when you and Wayne were discussing about syndication of Delicious, is that in a sense we're using it in a way it wasn't intended. We're using, if you like, a sort of group access account, and I mean, I think it was intended, it seems, much more for individuals to be doing things, you know, separately, so that each of us would have our own sort of Delicious site, and then we could sort of do, as you say, some sort of friend of a friend amongst ourselves to form that sort of group and see how what we're doing. So I'm wondering whether we should be having a horizon delicious site at all, or whether we should be having individual delicious sites for each of the members, and then find some way of bringing that all together.
That would be cool.
I think either one is a perfectly workable idea. In fact, I don't necessarily see those as exclusive, since, remember, Delicious allows for RSS feeds. Okay. Now, again, they're a little primitive at this point in time. There are some things I wish you could do that right now would require building a software layer on top of Delicious. But nonetheless, the basic tools are all there. And there certainly is no reason why we can't use those aggregators, those RSS feeds to aggregate, both individual accounts and collective. And of course, we'd have to discuss what belongs where. But yes, I think that there's definitely potential for looking at it from that perspective as well. And by the way, one other thing. I agree that we're using it in a way it was never intended to be. But that's usually where I find some of the most fun things can start to happen. There's a famous phrase that William Gibson used, if I recall correctly, it was in Neuromancer. And it's the street finds its uses for things. And I rather like that. I like it when I have an application and, I know the person that wrote it intended it as a great recipe database. But you know what? It's a wonderful base on which to write games. And anyhow.
Hey, Ruben, I got to get going, but thank you very much. This was very, very helpful. I don't mean to cut everybody off, but I need to go pick my son up. So I'm going to go back, take a look at this again. And I think off our Horizon VCOP thing, there's some information on Delicious. I thought I saw was
there is some
being posted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, Patricia, you might want to take a look there. So, okay. Thank you all. I will see you all virtually at the next meeting.
See you.
Okay. Thanks again.
Bye. And Ruben, also from me, thank you very, very much. It's been very helpful to me too.
Oh, great. No, thank you. And thanks, thank everyone for the comments, questions, and suggestions. I mean, I think.
Are you both going to New Orleans?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at this stage, I'm not. So.
Are you? I am.
Yes, I will be. I just sort of organized it yesterday. So hopefully we'll meet up then. But we'll meet up online, Ruben, when we're at New Orleans anyway.
That's right, yes.
Okay, so bye-bye both of you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Ruben, you'll post the transcript later, the audio transcript?
Yes, I'll post. Here is what I was planning on doing. I was planning on posting the slides, of course, and then two versions of the audio file. One that simply contains the voiceover for the talk itself for people who just would be interested in that, and the other one, which is the complete recording of everything from beginning to end for...
Oh, wow.
I think more for the...
Later how to do that.
Okay. Right. I'll be happy to do that. But that way, for the people who are in the Horizon VCOP who couldn't make the discussion, they get the full conversation as well. So.
Right. That'd be great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks again. This has really been useful today.
Great. I've really enjoyed it. So.
Okay. Take care now.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Thank you. Bye-bye.